Send a movie idea.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, dreamers, and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one of them is going to advance to the next stage, a bit like some sort of knockout tournament that might be coming up this week. Yeah, anyway, well, anyone can advance to the next stage, where in this instance, it will visit Donald Trump in the White House and discuss podcast reform and try to free the wrongfully imprisoned Ira Glass. I'm Joel, a man who puts the G in G7 Summit on climate change. And across from me is John Harris, a man so excited for the World Cup to start that we've spent the last hour swapping Panini stickers, which is not an easy feat, when John refuses to acknowledge any other nation than his beloved Francais. You can't stick them over everything, mate. Yeah. You can't stick French players in the Tunisia page.
If I wanted to create some sort of sugar paper that you could attach to Italian flat sandwiches, would that also be panini stickers?
Well, I was actually going to say you refuse to call them panini stickers and call them croque monsieur stickers instead.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I don't believe in the existence of any other nation, including the one in which I am sat right now. I just think of it as an offshoot of France.
Which is something we voted for a couple of years ago. Yeah. That's what Brexit was, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about Brexit. You may be surprised to learn. Weird pitch of movies.
There's like one guy who's just paused. What? I thought I was listening to the Brexit one.
So, hit me with a film, John.
This one's from Michael. The Shape of Watership Down.
Good.
A janitor helps a group of rabbits escape from the facility they were trapped in. That's quite nice.
That is quite nice. And I can talk at length on this because I watched the first 35 minutes of The Shape of Water on a plane recently.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
Did you get bored or did the plane...
crash, yeah. Into the sea, and I met a mad amphibious creature who took me to shore.
I was going to say, did the plane finish? Finished!
That's what they say when you land. Have you seen The Shape of Water?
Yes.
What do you think?
It's good. It's a very Guillermo del Toro film.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I didn't like that she fed eggs to an amphibious creature that would presumably also lay eggs. And I don't really think there's been enough press coverage about that.
The other night I was stood on the street eating some chicken.
A chicken walked past.
No, wait. My mate was eating chicken. I was eating pork, and a little bit of the pork fell out onto the street, and a pigeon came over and started pecking at it. And I thought, I'm glad that he's gone for the pork and not the chicken, because that feels like you're heading into cannibalism territory.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know how I feel about the egg eating situation.
Yeah, sorry.
Other than that, it seemed good, but I turned it off, and I think I watched something like the Lego Movie instead. I just couldn't deal with it, mate.
Yeah. Have you seen Watership Down?
Bright eyes burning like fire.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
think.
Neither have I. It's just traumatized our time, kids, isn't right?
It? But no, it traumatized kids. It traumatized our parents, I think.
Yeah, and so then they didn't let us watch it because
kids these days are traumatized by different things: losing at Fortnite early on, thinking about buying a house in the future,
looming nuclear threat.
No, that was also pretty.
Yeah, true.
Prevalent
it's just been
back
a while,
in the day.
Yeah. My bad.
That's just a popular fear for kids always.
Yes.
They basically only had nuclear threat and Watership Down to get upset about.
When I was like 8, I went through a summer of being petrified of death, like really, like constantly terrified of
death.
Now
you're completely unafraid.
Yeah, now I think I'm immortal.
You've concentrated all of your lifetime's fear into one summer.
It was hard, but I got it out of my system and now
what
I feel
were you worried
great.
About?
One thing I vividly remember is talking to my brother about it. I'm like, are there people like trying to blow up the world? He said, yeah, but there are like spies and stuff who are like trying to make sure that doesn't happen.
That's pretty cool.
Right? Which is a good of him, but in my anxious child state,
yeah.
I didn't hear the second bit. I just went, Mom, Chris tells me that there are people trying to blow up the world. I'm freaking out. And so, sorry, Chris.
And when was it? Sorry, you were 18.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, I saw Chris recently and I just asked
him. He's still saying it?
Chris.
When I was about eight,
yeah.
I got really, 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 really religious grandparents and they used to take me to Sunday school and stuff. When I was about eight, they made me really scared of the devil.
Oh.
The idea of the devil. And I used to like not sleep and stuff and have constant nightmares about the devil coming to get me. And similarly, to counteract it, as your spies trying to stop people from blowing the world up.
Yeah.
My dad said, don't worry about it. Just when you think about the devil, think about Indiana Jones. And so for like a good sort of 18 months in my life, whenever I had a scary dream, Indiana Jones would just turn off and save the day. It's pretty cool. And even now, if I'm having a bad day at work, I think Indiana Jones could whip this paperwork off my desk if he wanted to. He would just save the day. It's pretty great.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, he's kind of always there,
oh.
Ready to nip in, sort things out.
If you're having a bad day...
Think about Indiana Jones. I should be a therapist.
That's pretty early on we've got this week's takeaway from the podcast.
I should be a therapist.
Yeah.
No matter what, they're laying on the chair. Have you ever just tried thinking about Indiana Jones? Like some sort of, it'll be my revolutionary technique. There'll be a book on it.
I haven't actually.
Well, that'll be the most common response.
Yeah.
And then at least I can say, try that for 6 months. And then I've sort of delayed it for 6 months, haven't I? And then I can say like, which Indiana Jones do you think of? Because if it was Temple of Doom, not the best. So why don't you go away? Think about Indiana Jones in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Never think of Crystal Skull.
Because things will get a lot worse for you. I think that pretty much covers that film.
I really like the idea. And for one thing, despite our lack of knowledge of the actual Watership Down, it sounds like in Michael's version of this, happy ending.
When has a lack of knowledge ever held us back in the past from speculating wildly on these films?
Never. I actually was toying the other day with putting a disclaimer at the beginning of every episode saying, guys, just to
bear with us,
the people you're about to hear are fucking idiots and they're chatting very confidently about nonsense. Just please bear that in mind for the future. Because on the Gabriel episode, I spoke very confidently about the fact that Pearl Jam are named after Seaman, and there's no real evidence
David
to prove that. Yeah, when I said Seaman, I didn't mean human discharge. I meant
human discharge. That was the name of your band at UU, isn't it? Do you want a film from me, mate?
Yeah, no way.
Too much Seaman chat. This one's from Charlotte. Charlotte says, there's a new movie coming out. It's called Tag. You know about this?
Yes.
It's a movie
based on a true story, in inverted commas.
Yeah, so I saw a trailer for this when I was on holiday. I couldn't believe it was happening. It's like a comedy about four guys that have been locked in a game of tag since childhood.
Yeah.
And they still play it to this day. And it's based on a true story. I mean, how true can that be that there's people playing tag for that long? Anyway, that's the nature of that film. Charlotte reckons that that's not the best school playground game to base a film around, right?
I see.
Interestingly, I think like very early on in this podcast, we actually did a film based around Hopscotch.
First or second episode, first was Anderson. I think it's the second episode.
So go back and hit up that retro cut, Charlotte, and also anyone else listening.
Yeah.
If you're a new listener to the show, go back and explore the archives, lads. There's so much there to enjoy. It's like walking through the British Library. It's all killer, no filler. I would go and explore the archives.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
I would darken your room, light a candle, and really get in there.
I listened back to some old episodes because we had to make a demo for a thing, and I thought we were brilliant.
Just, it's real theatre of the mind stuff, this, isn't it? Like, it is advanced audio drama, a lot of it, yeah. What's interesting is that episodes 1 through 15 were completely scripted start to finish because we weren't very confident.
Yeah.
And you can probably tell that. Quite a static delivery.
Yeah, there are a couple bits where you think, I'd imagine Joel would have said that, and John would have said that. It's because we got our scripts mixed up in the third episode.
We're idiots. We got confused. Anyway.
Yeah, take me to the playground.
Doesn't T-Pain say that in a song? Right, so, number one, British Bulldog. The movie. Now, I can't really figure out what this would be.
A 13-year game of British Bulldog.
Yeah. Well, no, because that would have to... So, British Bulldog.
Yeah, please explain.
Do you remember it from school?
Yes.
So one person is nominated as the guy in the middle of the playground.
Yeah.
There are a load of people at one end of the playground. They have to get, bear with me, from one side of the playground to the other side of the playground, avoiding the capture of the person in the middle. Once that person in the middle hits you, you're caught, and you also go into the middle. Last person standing.
So if you're playing on, like, grass, it was, like, tackled to the ground. And I
went
like,
to a playground where a school where that was concrete. Also fine on concrete.
Oh, yeah, fine. Because there were, you know, you had, like, British Bulldog Light, where it was, like, tag-based.
British Bulldog Light.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we would play. L-I-T-E.
British Bulldog Zero.
Yeah. So how do you turn that into a film?
That's a good question.
Are we going, like, for instance, like Battleship, where we just take the concept and turn it into a big action film?
I think so, because Bulldog's very much about the venue, isn't it?
Mm.
Unless it's, like, Dodgeball.
So it's like international championships of Bulldog.
So yeah, they're just the British Bulldog team, but Bulldog as a concept is a global phenomenon.
Yeah, okay, so if you've won the British one by being the last man or woman standing. Yeah.
I think it's a gang of pals.
Yeah.
That used to play
gang of enemies.
That used to play British Bulldog together back in the day.
Mm.
And they get together when they're down on their luck, all of them collectively down on their luck, and a poster flies into one of their bedsits that says big prize to be won playing British Bulldog, and they call up their pals and they go and compete in competitive British Bulldog. It's the next big sport to hit the UK. Mm. People think it's going to be basketball, the next big sport in the UK, but it's not. It's actually British Bulldog.
And because it is a feel-good British film,
they're raising funds
to
community centre.
It's either community centre or pub, but we did a pub saving plot last time.
Yeah. this community centre's next door. By the end of this movie universe, they're going to have saved an entire street.
Okay, I like it. Mm-hmm. There's no other high concept where, you know, some sort of dystopian world in which Bulldog is the way they decide the leader or something.
That's quite good.
Of, like, some sort of civilization.
Like a gladiatorial-style thing.
Yeah.
Every 4 years, they have a big Bulldog championship to decide the next leader.
Exactly. And so the evil government, they're training up huge people.
Oh, and there's a plucky upstart.
Exactly.
And he makes it through.
Based on mostly bobbing and weaving, yeah.
Who are those guys? What are they training him up? Yeah. So you've got this evil government training this big guy, 90s, and there's Bobbin and Weavin training up this.
Yeah, so
this
90s UK rap duo, Bobbin and Weavin.
They come back for their movie appearance. No. Well, British Bulldog for me was a very 90s pursuit, as was the music of Bobbin and Weavin. Both really capture the moment for me. Both make me incredibly nostalgic for about 1998. Didn't they do the World Cup song in 1998? Bobbin and Weavin.
Yeah.
How did it go again?
It was, I'm pretty sure it was bobbing and weaving into the box, wasn't it?
I think it was that, yeah. And how did it go?
We're bobbing, and then the other one, and weaving into the box.
Go, hey! go!
Football. It's really good, actually.
It was good, yeah.
It's strangely forgotten tune.
Yeah, but it's because of what we even did afterwards, which I don't think we can legally talk about, actually.
Just for the record, so at the beginning of the game, someone has to be nominated to be the tackler.
Yeah, how do they used to decide that? I reckon it's just someone with a kind of a perverse sense of malice. Because you'd never nominate yourself for that position, would you?
I was just thinking.
There's no thrill in it.
I was just thinking we get the Rock in, really big,
nice,
terrifying presence.
Yeah. And he always does it.
Every single 4 years.
Yeah.
He's like the right-hand man to the king or queen.
Nice.
So maybe that's what it is. Isn't actually this plucky upstart?
Yep.
She is in cahoots with the Rock.
Whoa! So the Rock's not tapping her.
So it's actually a little bit.
That's a bit suspect, mate. But hang on,
for a greater good.
Where this falls down though is that the Rock will quickly be joined by an awful lot of other people in the middle. So is the Rock like palming them off?
So that's fine. Yeah. So there we go. So it's still. Yeah. She still has to like. There's still some skill involved.
Yeah, definitely.
The fact that the Rock's on her side doesn't actually help at all, really, because once the Rock's got, you know, the evil government's massive people down,
yep,
they're now on the catcher's side.
Yeah, I like it, mate.
Great.
A couple of other playground games that could be turned into movies just quickly for you.
Yeah.
Conkers?
So the concept of Conkers, put them on a string, hit them until one gets knocked off the string.
Yeah.
And then you win.
Soak them in vinegar. That was an old school trick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Freeze it. Never sure I believed any of that.
I don't know about... I can get the soaking in vinegar more because there's some sort of, like, you could imagine there's some sort of chemical reaction happening. Freezing them, and then they defrost. So.
I used to soak mine in battery acid immediately before a game and then just flick it at my competitor. I actually used to use a rock and say that I dipped it in some grey vinegar.
Why didn't you paint the rock to look like a conker?
I didn't have brown paint.
How did you get the hole for it? You just found one that had a hole in it already.
Just had to do a lot of scrabbling. When you work in a quarry, mate, at age 9 or 10, you find a lot of rocks. Some pretty good skimmers as well. You can use skimmer stone.
Yes. I haven't done it recently.
This is what I thought, right? I thought I was really good at skimmer stone. I recently went to holiday.
Yeah. Been there.
Isn't it good? Yeah, everyone goes every year. Yeah, it's just
Americans go to vacation. I've not been to vacation.
I've not been to vacation. Yeah. But why would you when holiday's so great?
Exactly.
And it's so varied. And I went to holiday and I was in the New York bit of holiday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I thought, this is... So I was in Dumbo, which is a really cool, fancy place.
Oh, okay.
And you can go right by the river. There's like little beach and stuff down by the Hudson, like big bridges either side of you. And there were all these stones. I thought, this is a pretty iconic place to skim a rock. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're going to skim a rock, you should skim a rock.
Might as well do it Dumbo.
Lots of tourists around taking photos. I couldn't fucking skim a rock, mate. And I've always backed myself to skim a rock in the more private beaches of Kent.
You know,
I can go out there, I could skim one all day long, and the pressure got to me. And then I couldn't find a good flat stone. I was just chucking any old thing in there. In the end, I got one bounce. I ran away.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
I don't think I'm ever going to go back to America.
They've denied your visa.
Yeah.
Based on...
I was hoping I could skim one home instead of a postcard.
I'm really sorry to hear that, Joel. I feel like... There are things that I haven't done in a long time that I still deep down think I'll be all right at just because of the fact I've done it once.
Can we go skimming?
Yeah, let's go skimming.
We'll practice on the street outside first.
It is skimming indefinitely down this road. We're so good.
Till it hits a car. Yeah, Conkers. Another one was Pogs. Let's not get into it.
Pogs is a million miles away from the kind of Conker world of like one versus one.
I'll be honest with you, mate. We haven't got time to talk about Pogs, what they are, or what they were actually used for, or, you know, finding them in crisp packets. Maybe... That'll be another episode.
Sorry.
Maybe we'll dedicate an episode to my thoughts on Pogs.
I'm excited.
So get ready for that. That'll drop at any point in the next 5 years. You don't know.
Bonus episode.
It'll be probably when I've really finished my thesis.
Yeah.
I don't want to leak any of the research that I've done prior to that. Because there's some pretty big publications after it.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Give me another idea.
What about this one from Stu? A parody of Venom Denim.
All right, nice. So it's a guy who always wears suits.
Uh-oh.
But when Denim takes over, he has to wear jeans and a jean jacket. And he commits deeds.
He commits
country-based karaoke.
In my head, like, Double Denim, it's more like 90s, isn't it?
It is quite weird. Do you think of that Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears get up?
Yeah.
Like the really iconic...
I think of Bobbin and Weavin'.
We're wearing all the denim in America. Bobbin and Weavin' used to wear a lot of denim. Yeah.
I think of them.
Obviously, Weavin' just now wears that on a jumpsuit, but... But they did... When he was a free man, he would wear a lot of denim.
Oh, man. I don't know if we could... I think Weavin's people are going to be onto us after this episode.
Yeah, we were talking
about starting a beef on Twitter recently, and I think you've started a beef, mate.
Bring them on, mate. Bring them on. Weren't even good enough for Eurovision this year, were they? So, fuck them.
I mean, it was because Bobbin was there, but Weavin was doing it via Skype.
Yeah, that was weird. There was such a horrible delay. That stage invader was actually weaving. He'd broken out of prison.
Fuck's sake. Denim. So it's an alien symbiote.
Yeah.
That makes... Oh, I need to get my head around this, because why does... There's an alien symbiote that makes Venom, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a radioactive spider that makes Spider-Man. Yeah. Yeah, they have kind of overlapping
same look.
Skills
yeah.
and looks.
Yeah, they're the same thing, but good and bad of each other.
Is it because the symbiote saw Spider-Man or was part of
yeah,
Spider-Man
and
at
our
one point?
Symbiote saw Denim.
Yes!
It landed like outside Macy's in New York or something.
Gap.
Yeah, it landed outside the Gap. And it thought, well, this must be exactly what people like to wear and who they are.
Yeah.
So it went forward and it just latched onto someone who objectively doesn't like denim because he thinks it's too casual.
Yeah.
But he can't resist the denim.
And so now, is it like, so it's like a secret at night, he goes out wearing denim.
Yeah.
And it's like he's ashamed to his family and
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly.
And does he commit crime? Is he evil in any way?
Yeah. Everyone that wears denim commits crime, don't they?
Is this in the same cinematic universe as Spider-Man?
Spider-Man and Venom, yeah. Yeah. But Spider-Man's not really fussed about denim because it's a bit pathetic.
But Venom is.
Venom really is, yeah, because it's not good for his look. Because he's a bit more gothic.
Yeah.
Whereas denim just looks like, I don't know, he's bobbing or weaving.
Denim's tried to join the Sinister Six.
Yeah, they're like,
it's like
on,
Vulture,
mate.
Mysterio, yeah. Denim. And yeah. That's Denim.
That's Denim, mate.
What about this one from Flash, who is real?
He's got a new idea.
An inconvenient sleuth. Al Gore narrates Robert Mueller's Donald Trump / Russia investigation in real time. Brackets, Will Ferrell, Stranger Than Fiction style.
Okay, interesting. So in Will Ferrell, Stranger Than Fiction, he can hear the narration.
Yeah.
So can Donald Trump hear Al Gore's narration?
That would be good.
Yeah.
It would explain some stuff as well.
What would it explain?
Just his general peculiar temperament.
Yeah, I guess it would if you had Al Gore's voice in your ear all the time.
You know, like if Al Gore, when you're going, it's really great, and then he's going, it's not, he'd be like, it's really great.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So you see what I mean?
Interesting.
Because you know how he really emphasises things over and over again.
Yeah.
If you had Al Gore telling you that you're a liar, you might, you know, it might cause...
question it, yeah.
Yeah. I think an important thing that Flash has brought up that I think we need to delve into is the fact that he's an inconvenient sleuth. And I guess if in your head you can hear the narration, that is inconvenient
to
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But I like the idea more that we have some sort of detective involved.
When you said an inconvenient sleuth, I was hoping it should be a hapless detective.
Yeah, I'm actually a big fan of the hapless detective. Maybe documentaries about the environment. You know, they're not paying the bills.
No.
So Al Gore
becomes a PI.
Yeah.
Nice.
And
Al Gore investigates.
And also, you've got to imagine that being Al Gore is very inconvenient when you're a PI.
When you're a PI. What sort of disguises do you wear?
Yeah.
Or maybe you just can't perform any PIing in the US and he has to take it abroad.
Or he does try and he's just constantly, the people he's chasing are just like,
that's Al Gore.
Are you Al Gore?
But then
Gore?
Maybe that's the perfect disguise.
Yeah.
Because if you were like, you're up to no good, and Al Gore was just sort of walking past you in the street, you wouldn't think, he must be following me, he's got more important things to do. Little do they know, he's got nothing better to do. Nothing better to do than follow a man to see if he's having an affair. That's what PIs do, isn't it?
I
thought for a while it'd be great to be a PI. Because anyone can do it.
Yeah.
You and I could just register as PIs right now and set up an office. Oh, I would love it, mate.
What do you think for the name?
Joel and his sidekick will solve your crime.
Okay.
That's the slogan.
Yeah?
We're called Joel Grove Investigates. Plus friend. No, colleague. Assistant.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I'd like to do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was also thinking, if I was up to no good, I think this also furthers the inconvenient sleuth element. If I was up to no good and I was walking down the street and I thought Al Gore might be following me, I'd probably think to myself, maybe you should be a better person.
Yeah.
Al Gore's judging you.
Yeah, you don't want to be judged by Al Gore.
No, he seems like a really stand-up guy.
It's such a cool name, isn't it?
Yeah. I saw a press...
Is it short for Alan Gore?
Alan Gore.
You should refer to himself as that. Albert Gore?
Alfred. Alonso.
Alonso Gore?
Yeah.
Should we move on to our own ideas?
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. What you got? Oh, I'll do mine.
Okay.
So Will Smith's going to star in a movie called Gemini Man.
What?
Yeah, Will Smith's going to be in a movie called Gemini Man.
Okay.
It's coming out next year.
Yeah.
He's an elite assassin.
Yeah.
Of course he is.
Of course, always.
So what about films based on our star signs?
What's your star sign?
I'm a Leo, mate.
Leo man.
Leo man. Do you want to hear about what Leo does?
Yeah, sure.
Warm. Tick. Action-oriented.
Double tick.
Driven by the desire to be loved and admired. Triple tick. The Leo has an air of royalty about them. Check. They love to be in the limelight, which is why many of them make a career in the performing arts. Ding dong. What am I doing right now? You, mate.
Yeah. Have you just written up some bullshit? Is a dickhead. No one likes him.
No.
Okay.
But yours isn't as good. I'll tell you what I did. I copied and pasted the first result on Google.
Okay, fine.
I haven't actually even read yours until now, and there's some good lines in it. So you're a Sagittarius.
Yeah.
The home of the wanderers of the zodiac. It's not a mindless ramble for these folks either. Sagittarians are truth seekers, and the best way for them to do this is to hit the road, talk to others, and get some answers. That's what you're like.
No, I'm nothing like that.
You love talking to people and getting answers.
I'm wondering. There's something I like less than wondering.
Weird, because mine's exactly like me.
Yeah.
But yours isn't anything like you. Mm. But also, interestingly, a little bit more research. These two star signs are incredibly compatible, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Cute.
So I don't know what you want to do with that. I thought what would be more fun, actually, would be a movie where there's a serial killer in the style of Seven trying to kill each of the star signs in a way that relates to what they're like. What's a Taurus like? Bullish.
Yeah.
Aggressive.
Yeah.
Rutting all the time.
Just an aggressive murder.
Yeah.
And the detectives are looking, going, I don't know. It's just aggressive, this one, isn't it?
It is quite aggressive. Cancer, it's a big crab. They kill them. They put them in a pit of crabs.
You give them...
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
The scales, the twin. That's Gemini. Scorpio, similar to the crab one.
They do it in the
very,
same...
Yeah, they do it the same. Yeah, it's, they kill two people in two different pots of stuff.
That's when the detectives really work it out. Oh, wait.
Yeah, we see what you're doing
here.
Yeah,
star signs. One of them's a goat.
No,
right?
It's not.
Isn't it?
There's not a goat one.
Isn't there a goat star sign?
How would that... What would that murder be?
Killed by goats? I don't know.
Kick them off a mountain? Make them try and balance on a mountain?
Yeah. I'm going to Google it. Aquarius.
Yeah, drowned. Drowned. That's so easy, that one.
Yeah. Pisces. Fish.
Similar, drowning.
There's a fish in his mouth.
Yeah, he drowns. But the first one is in a reservoir, so there wouldn't be any life forms in there because of man-made structure. Second one in an ocean where there's fish.
So here's where I'm getting confused already. Aries looks like a goat, like a ram or something. Yeah. Capricorn, another
also
goat.
Also a goat. Yeah, but similar but different goat deaths. Okay. One's a trampling, one's a mountain-based thing.
Have we done Leo?
Torn apart by lions.
Virgo.
What's Virgo? Former snooker player John Virgo hits snooker balls at you on a table until you die.
Libra. Library.
Yeah, death in a library. Kills the dead by a book.
Sagittarius.
Killed to death, I just said. I didn't even say it as a funny thing to say. Killed to death by a book. Next.
Finally, Sagittarius is the bow and arrow.
Fatally murdered by an arrow.
Yeah.
Done. That's good, isn't it?
Done. What's that called?
The Zodiac Killer.
Fuck. Fucking hell.
Is that because of the star sign?
Fuck's sake. I implore with you to know that if you've been wanting to murder us this whole time, thinking, you know, there's a thing called the Zodiac Killer. I promise you, those last 5 minutes have been done in blissful naivety, not knowing or thinking about the fact that it'd be called the
idiots.
Zodiac Killer.
People spend their time listening to this. Remarkable, isn't it?
I'm
absolutely
so
remarkable.
A Bug's Life of Brian. Should we just go home?
He's not the Messiah, he's a very tiny ant.
I don't even want to elaborate.
Neither do I. Who won? Which film won?
I really like the British Bulldog.
British
stuff.
Bulldog was really good. Thank you very much, Charlotte. We have to leave now because there's a rat-tat-tat at the studio door, and it's actually Mystic Meg. This is a bit annoying, actually, because Mystic Meg told us that she cancelled her studio booking due to unforeseen circumstances, but she's turned up.
I want to talk about beefs. I think we mentioned it in the episode. I want to talk about beefs.
Yeah.
I tried to get some beefs brewing on Twitter.
People are afraid of us.
No one got involved.
People are afraid of us.
Evolution of Horror Podcast sent us a GIF. That's not... They ain't biting enough.
Run scared, mate.
So I thought we need to take this into overdrive.
Yeah.
And I think the best way to get it looking like that we have some legitimate beefs going...
Mm-hmm. Post-aggressive photos.
No.
Of us sort of stripped to the waist.
No. Is I'm willing we... To is we ask you guys listening to tweet famous podcasts saying, heard Dream Factory, we were chatting shit about you.
That's good. I like that.
No context.
Does it mean you and I will never get a job in the podcast industry?
No, because it's not true, right?
Yeah, but I think it's true.
But then we'll be like, I don't know what they're talking about.
I'd rather they went to the podcasters' houses and threw stones and stuff.
Okay.
I would rather they threw a brick through windows of notable celebrities with the Dream Factory artwork printed out and attached to the brick.
In hindsight, listener, maybe don't do either of those things.
I say what we should do. Just have an ice cream and have a nice time.
Have a good day.
Have a good day. As the Stereophonics once almost sang.
they were trying to sing that.
They were trying to sing that. Yeah,
beefing with them now. Yeah, fucking tweet Stereophonics.
Yeah, have a good Stereophonics.
Yeah. Chat and shit, baby. Yeah.
Not enough education to perform, in my opinion, mate.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.